This is Metro Connection. I'm David Furt. Barry Lewis Palisar has been recording children's music since the mid-1970s. He's performed at countless schools in the area. He played the White House. He hosted his own kids' TV show. And back in the early 90s, the composer of Don't Put Your Finger Up Your Nose even found himself at the center of a major censorship battle. As if that wasn't enough fodder for the resume, the Maryland songwriter has now gone Hollywood. One of his old songs plays during the opening credits of the highly regarded new film, Juno.
All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea.
Barry Lewis Palisar joins us now to talk about the film and his career. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Tell us about how you came to be involved with this new film, Juno.
Well, Juno sort of came about almost by accident. The director, Jason Reitman, emailed me out of the clear blue. He had been looking for a song on iTunes and saw that my title, thinking it was another song, played it, liked it, and hunted me down from my website and emailed and asked if he could use it in the credits of the movie, which wasn't much of a question to really have to answer. It was, yeah, that'd be great. I'd be happy to have that.
So really, that's it. You have iTunes to thank. It wasn't that he grew up listening to your music.
I'm hearing from a lot of people these days who did indeed grow up with my music and had my early albums when they were kids, who now have rock bands or are making covers of my songs. I've had quite a few people doing that. But in this case, it was pure serendipity. He just found the song, liked it, and emailed me and asked me if he could use it. It's happened before. I had the Tiva Sando Company emailed me and asked me if they could use one of my songs that I wrote called Water. Water started long ago. Water started long ago. Water started long ago, and it's still around. And they used it in one of their commercials. They found it also on iTunes.
That's amazing. All I Want Is You, this song was recorded in 1977, and it appeared on your second album, My Brother Thinks He's a Banana.
My Brother Thinks He's a Banana and Other Provocative Songs for Children.
And Other Provocative Songs for Children.
That's the full title.
This is great exposure for this song. I mean, it's not like we just hear a few seconds of the song. We hear the entire song at the beginning of the film. Has this helped you reconnect with a segment of your audience? You know, kids who grew up listening to your music, who maybe were sitting in that darkened movie theater when suddenly there you are again. Hey, I know this guy.
Yeah, and I mean, the movie really appeals to that perfect demographic for me, too, because kids that were kids 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago are now that prime movie-going audience. They're also the prime audience on the internet and on the web. And so, I mean, I've been hearing from lots of people who grew up with my songs, who knew my songs when they were kids. Suddenly hearing them again, hearing the song again in the movie has brought them to the website, brought them to my other recordings, brought them to my other songs. So, yeah, I mean, and it's also interesting because I've really operated for 33 years under the radar. I've worked steadily over the last three decades. I've, you know, written books for children. I tour nationally, but really with not a whole lot of radio or television or media exposure. And so suddenly this movie is like, you know, it's a big deal because suddenly my name is out there, or at least my voice is out there. And if people stay long enough for the credits or hunt down the song, they'll figure out, you know, who wrote it.
Have you seen the film, and what was your reaction?
Yeah, I did. I actually saw it when it opened here in Washington, and loved it. I mean, I think it's a delightful film that really, I mean, it's so much more than what a description of the movie is. It's about much more than that. I mean, the whole idea of this character and taking responsibility for her actions and all the other characters. I mean, it's a very well done film, and I'm really, really proud to be part of it.
The lead character in this film is a young woman who's in high school who is pregnant.
Right. And just, a whip smart, you know, kind of sarcastic, funny, humorous attitude, the way she talks. I mean, the script, the dialogue is pretty amazing. But also, all the other characters are just amazing. I mean, they're not stereotypes. They're real characters. And there's a few moments. I mean, my favorite moments in the movie are all silent ones. I mean, as wonderful as the dialogue and as witty as the script is, I really love the silent moments. There's a moment when the father of Juno, the main character, actually finally comes face to face with the father of her child. And, you know, it's all silent and it's all just done with a look and a touch. And it's just priceless.
Come on, though. Your favorite moment had to be when you heard your song kick in at the beginning there.
No, actually, that was I was really glad when that was over. That just felt really odd to me. I mean, other people say that it works, but for me, it's just so hard to separate it from when I wrote the song. It just felt like, and it's also so in your face because, like, unlike so many of the other songs in the movie, which are playing while there's other things going on, this credit sequence is just basically the main character walking down the street as the credits are going on. And so what you really tend to focus on are the lyrics and the song itself. And it is just there in its full off key 1977 glory.
It's full off key 1977 glory. It's really out there. It's really exposed.
Yes, that's right. Not that the 2007 Barry is any more in key or in tune.
So there's a trend running through your career. I'm glad.
Oh, definitely. I've tried to be consistent in keeping that.
I'm glad to know that has been preserved.
Yes, absolutely.
I mentioned that you found yourself in the middle of a censorship battle in the early 1990s. This all started when someone decided that your music wasn't appropriate for kids and had you banned from performing in the Anne Arundel County school system?
Well, tried to have me banned from performing.
Tried to have you banned.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't successful. It was a very interesting learning experience. Yeah, it was a high school music teacher in Anne Arundel County who felt that elementary age children wouldn't understand the subtleties and the humor of my songs. And I kept arguing during that time that my work really shouldn't be judged by a high school music teacher, because my work doesn't teach scales or anything that a high school music teacher would really teach his students. But perhaps if my work was judged by a library committee or perhaps an elementary group of teachers, that's who really know kids and know that age group.
I guess if you name your children's music albums, quote, naughty songs for boys and girls and, quote, I eat kids.
Right.
You're asking for trouble. What was the fear that some people would take these titles very literally?
Well, yeah. Of course, I argued that even if you took the titles literally, I'll give an example. I have a song called "Don't Put Your Finger Up Your Nose," and it was one that was singled out. I'll just play you a verse.
Don't put your finger up your nose, 'cause your nose is not the place it goes. You can sniff or you can sneeze, but I'm asking you, please, don't put your finger up your nose, and don't put your finger in your eye. It's not a thing I think you ought to try. You can blink it, you can wink it, but I don't think it would be good to put your finger in your eye.
Well, if you take that song literally, it's really not bad advice. So I just kind of scratched my head and said, well, wait a minute. I mean, if you're taking the song literally, if you're afraid that the kids are going to take the songs literally, there's really not really anything wrong in that message. I think really it was just a question of, you know, whether kids have a sense of humor and whether adults, more importantly, who are in a position of bringing me into the schools, get it. And, you know, 33 years, that's all I've done. I mean, I make my living in the public elementary schools and the public libraries. So, I mean, obviously, I may walk a line, but I don't think I ever cross over it.
And seriously, this was a big deal. I mean, this had you landing on the front page of the Washington Post,
Baltimore Sun, the Annapolis Capitol. I mean, it was really the first time I had a lot of publicity in my career.
But it also suddenly had you branded as this controversial kids' music singer.
Yeah, I said at the time that, you know, because everybody said at the time that, oh, this is great, you can't buy that kind of publicity. But the truth is, you really couldn't say controversy and children in the same breath and expect to come out unscathed. I had schools calling up who said, well, you know, we really love your stuff. You've come to our school every year for the last 5 years, but you know, you're getting too much press, and this year my principal doesn't want anything controversial. Now, I was never controversial before. Now, there's no question. I've written 150-some songs. I've published 12 different books. Somebody is going to find something somewhere in the volume of my work that they may object to. I used to joke that I had the Judge Bork syndrome, that I had just written a lot of things. And if you're really searching, you're going to find something. You're going to find a phrase, a word, a song that you're not going to like. But it's not necessarily what I do in my author visits. As a matter of fact, my author visits are really, I'm coming in to talk about being a writer and where I get ideas from and how I write and the process that I go through. It's really more of an educational show. And the songs, of course, are out there. I mean, I've written a lot of them, and some of them are pretty weird and silly. You know, be careful, it will get you if you don't watch out. It will make you scream and holler, make you cry and moan and
pout. It's mean and it's nasty. It's ugly and it's red. It comes when you are sleeping alone in your bed.
It's diaper rash. It's diaper rash.
And of course, it's a song about diaper rash. Now, you know, the kids laugh and howl and it's very funny, but I also talk about how, you know, I get ideas from real life. And when my kids were little, I wrote about my children when they were babies. And that was one of the songs that had come up when the kids were real young.
That sounds really worthy of a serious band to me. You know, we've been speaking with Barry Lewis Polisar. And for more information, you can go to our website, metroconnection.org. We'll have the links to Barry's page. And Barry Lewis Polisar, thank you so much for joining us.
It was a real pleasure. I enjoyed chatting with you.
If I were a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I were a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaf. All I want is you, will you be
at 19 minutes past the hour, this is Metro Connection on WAMU 88.5.
Me, hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. You were a river in the mountain. The rumble of your water would be my call. If you were the winter, I'd know I'd be the snow. As long as you were with me, let the cold wind blow.